Welcome to the Analyst Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're doing running back snap reactions for the Week 16 games here, and as we head into our finals week, I'll start right off with Arizona. A good James Conner day, right? You go 7 for 41. That's the second most receptions for the team. Like, if you had put this is crazy when you think about, when you just look at Arizona, the people in front of DeAndre Hopkins in both receptions and yardage this week: Greg Dortch, Marquise Brown, James Conner, and Trey McBride. All of them had better days passing, notably better days, substantially better days by multiples than DeAndre Hopkins did. So it's a different offense with Trace McSorley, certainly, than Colt McCoy or Kyler Murray. I'm not sure the McCoy return scenario. That'd be something to kind of think about in terms of, like, when you're looking at it going forward about, you know, you're going to play Hopkins, right? He drew 10 targets on 47 routes. Like, you're going to play him, but, man, McSorley versus Brady was tough this week. But anyways, we're talking about running backs. Connor, really high type production scenario for him.
And if it's going to be check down city, like, there's a lot there to like. The other thing, too, like, I had Darrell Williams in some spots, just sort of stashing him. Looks like it's probably not going to come to fruition. Could probably move off of that spot. I would hold Keonta Ingram into the offseason just to see where we're at. Atlanta, this has turned almost fully towards Tyler Allgeier in recent weeks. 42 snaps for him, 26 for Cordarrelle Patterson, 18-8 in terms of carries, 20-15 in terms of snaps, 5-1 in terms of targets. So lots of volume there going towards Allgeier's way. He's actually their second leading receiver in this game. He went for 117 total yards in this game on 22 touches. So for Patterson, he was 1 for 14. In the receiving game, he had 17 rushing yards. So he almost outgained him by, almost close to 100 yards. It's a big difference in terms of this. So Allgeier's going to be one in the offseason I'm pretty interested in. By the way, I was looking at some stuff for them as well. Like, it's pretty thorough, the Allgeier stuff. Like, short yardage, he's ahead of Patterson, 4-1 in this game. He had 5 of the 9 snaps on third downs. I think he had a couple as well that he shared the backfield with people. He had 8 of the 2-minute drill snaps, which would have been about 40% there. So, you know, it's 3-1 at the goal line. The early downs, it's he had 19 of their 33 snaps thereabouts, 34 snaps thereabouts. So, like, it's pretty thorough there in terms of his where he's playing over Patterson. So I wouldn't trust Patterson at this point, other than maybe like a more of a desperation flex. Feels like Allgeier is kind of on that running back two landscape. All right, Baltimore. By the way, I think Allgeier is going to be a flip guy in the offseason. We'll be interested to sort of see what they do. Like, they could move on from Patterson. I don't know if they will or not. We'll see. It's kind of a reasonable deal for them. But Allgeier is going to be, I think, a flip guy early on in the offseason. All right, next up we've got Baltimore, who actually played Atlanta. 22 snaps for Dobbins, 21 for Gus Edwards, so a little bit of a split there. They only played 52 total snaps in this game. 12-11 carry advantage for Dobbins. Edwards was actually the big performer in this game, 99 yards, 11 carries. He ripped off a 37-yarder, too, which is kind of the difference in their production in the game. Dobbins, the only one really participating in the passing game, one target. But between them, they had 10 routes on 18 dropbacks. Justice Hill was running a little bit, too, with 5 routes. He only had 7 snaps, so playing like a bit role. But some of that's in the passing game, sort of taking away some of that. So Dobbins, I feel more comfortable as like a running back two going forward. Edwards a little bit more on the flex type scenario. I'd be interested in the offseason sort of what Dobbins' value will be. Buffalo, we're getting more of some James Cook production here. Double-digit touches in this game with 11 carries. He went for 99 yards and a touchdown rushing. He went 1 for 9 on the ground, so over 100 total yards on 12 touches. If you're the Bills, you like run to take that. That's a really good day. They ran for 254 in this game. Singletary as well, 12 carries, 106 yards, and a touchdown. And then he went 2 for 19 receiving. So this was a game where they kind of carved up Chicago on the ground, needed to with the weather. And listen, I think Cook is going to be – Cook's interesting because, like, you could see a case for him and Dobbins really close to each other. And I think I'd take the Cook side of that, even though I think maybe Dobbins is a better player. Cook doesn't have sort of the the problems of the injuries, and I think the overall overt situation is going to be better than it would be in Baltimore. So, like, I think that those guys are interesting players to compare one another with. Carolina, it's a pretty good split between Hubbard and Foreman snap-wise. However, Foreman, 21 carries to only 12 for Hubbard. It didn't matter because Hubbard was went 12 for 125 in the game. Foreman went 12 for 165 and a touchdown. They have been exceedingly run heavy. So I was looking at this from some of the passing frequency stuff for them. In the McCaffrey era of this season, they basically were passing it as much as you would expect them based on their situation. So they were about 60% of the time they're passing it, which is about what you would expect based on the game situations that they were in. Fast forward to present, and in the post-McCaffrey phase, they're actually 12% under expectation. So they got rid of their running back and ran the ball a ton more, which is interesting. It's an interesting thing when you're, especially with the pass game-centric role, they totally have changed their offense to be much more of a ground-and-pound offense. And I think it's interesting. Basically, in any situation, they're going to run it more expected than anything. Like, they're one of the few teams where that's actually true. I think they might be the only team where that's actually true. Maybe them in Atlanta, where they just across the board will run it more in every given situation. Sometimes you'll see, you know, some coaches like to throw on third and short or whatever, second and short. Like, they like to throw it a bunch. Not really so for Carolina this year. By the way, it was a pretty thorough lead for Foreman in sort of the early down rolls. They split goal line touches. Foreman handled the short yardage work, but it was Hubbard in the third downs, Hubbard in the 2-minute drill, right? So sort of Hubbard handling those a little bit more receiving centric type roles, where Foreman's handling a lot of the early down stuff. They run it so much that that's kind of the deal. Some notes from PFF from this week. Hubbard led the team in early down snaps last week and maintained all of his passing game work. And again, that was sort of the game Foreman got shut down in. Hubbard started this game for Carolina. His first two runs, I was listening to it on actually Red Zone. He went for 30 and 35 yards. He then had 12. He had 10 more carries for 60 yards throughout the game. And Foreman kind of took over a bit the running back role, sort of the running back, running centric role in the offense after that. I think both of them kind of are on the running back two flex type scenario. I don't have a ton of trust in either of them in any given week, but I think that the role is pretty good in that offense. Chicago, we get Khalil Herbert back. He played 25 snaps to 41 for Montgomery. I'm playing Montgomery. You know, I think Montgomery, he lost a fumble in this game, but it was a thorough advantage for him, right? It's 18 routes to only 12 for Herbert, 16 carries for only 6 for Herbert. So Montgomery handling the goal line, short yardage. They split third downs, and Montgomery had the big edge in the early down stuff. So I'm confident sort of in Montgomery this week. He'll head into free agency. It'll be interesting to watch. I think he can sort of shed any shares you got of Darrington Evans at this point and sort of optimize the back end of that roster spot. All right, Cincinnati, this is an 84-play game for them. So you get some decent volume in terms of P. Ryan getting 4 targets as well, 3 for 19. He ran it 4 times as well for 3 yards. But this is Mixon's job. All right, Mixon 16 for 65, sort of plotting a bit, but he goes 7 for 43 and basically saves his day. So you get high teens out of him, right? That's kind of the deal. P. Ryan's a classic injury away guy, and we'll head into the offseason. You know, Mixon has a contract that probably is going to need to be reworked in some way, shape, or fashion, which would be my guess based on his production here. So I'd be interested to see sort of if they take a – say, hey, we'll take a discount shot on Samaje Perine. I don't think that that's going to happen. I don't think he would get all the way through, but that'd be an interesting, it would certainly be an interesting, you know, their career arc basically, along their careers has been certainly interesting. Perine's a free agent this year as well. So we'll see how both of those guys, you know, are handled contractually in the off season. But Perine certainly earned his way to a injury away job for the foreseeable future. A little bit of a Kareem Hunt strikes back type performance here for Cleveland. You remember Chubb had been sort of, you know, really working on increasing his workload in recent weeks, both in the running game and the passing game. The running game held true, 24 carries for Chubb in this one, only 7 for Hunt. However, it was 22 routes for Hunt, only 8 for Chubb. It didn't matter much. It was Hunt 3 for 14. Chubb went 1 for 5. But that's one thing that sort of has happened in recent weeks was that Chubb was just basically taking over the backfield. This has then now worked back into a split role between these two guys. So, yeah, I mean, it takes a little bit of the ceiling off Chubb. We'll see what happens with Hunt here in the off season. By the way, their run frequency has stayed the same despite Watson coming back. They were 7% under expectation in terms of pass frequency. They are 6% with Watson back, so it has not changed. Dallas, it is Pollard ahead of Zeke this week. Again, remember, they kind of rotate back and forth. But Zeke handled 16 carries, 9 for Pollard, 25 routes for Pollard, 16 for Zeke. So again, they kind of rotate. It's not really like a, you know, like a committee in terms of like different roles. It's a pretty interchangeable backfield between these two guys. We'll see. I think Zeke's going to be dirt cheap in the offseason. We'll be interested to sort of see how that unfolds. And then Pollard, you know, is going to be kind of, is he going to get that Eckler type deal? It'll be interesting off season to watch for both of those guys. Latavius Murray, disappointing game for Denver. And I think he's on the flex play here for the next couple of weeks or so. And then we'll see what the off season brings for him. But 31 snaps in this, only 67 plays for them, but that's less than 50%. You don't love to see that. Chase Edmonds working back 28 snaps in this game. He had 15 routes, 6 carries. So one of the things that will interest me is now that Nathaniel Hackett has been fired, what will they do in terms of the running back? Are they going to try and get a look-see at Edmonds or something like that? I don't know. This is what happens when you don't get – when you don't handle when you don't do a good job with coaches and then you have to fire them in season and then all of a sudden, like, you have to you don't get the coach incentivized to sort of play the long game on usage, right? So we'll see sort of what this looks like. I don't know if I really trust Latavius right now. We'll see how the week goes and see how things unfold. But I think in the flex consideration, he's going to be a little bit lower just because Edmonds back. Edmonds fully ahead of Marlon Mack. I think I hold Marlon Mack into the offseason where I have him, but we'll sort of, you know, we'll see sort of what this backfield could drastically change in the offseason, especially getting Javonte Williams back. All right, Detroit, Swift has basically really reclaimed this backfield, but a lot of it was game script in this one. He ran 25 routes on 46 dropbacks. Only had 5 targets, though. He went 1 for 13. He went 4 for 12 running, so it's like less than 5 points. It's pretty abysmal. Jamal Williams, 11 rushing yards in this game. He went 2 for 3 through the air, so that's pretty disappointing. I mean, looked like a really good matchup for them, and they just totally fell on their faces in this game. So, I think I'm trusting Jamal Williams less and less as weeks go on. I think I'm trusting Swift usage a little bit more, but this one was a pretty bad game sort of across the board for them. Swift, 16 of the 18 two-minute drill snaps. Like, that's really your play advantage there for him in this week. He did play 14 early downs, 8 for Justin Jackson, 9 for Jamal Williams. So there's a bit of a split there. Green Bay, Aaron Jones, 25 snaps, which is actually behind A.J. Dillon, who played 38. 17 routes for Dillon, 12 for Aaron Jones. A.J. Dillon, 12 carries, and 7 for Aaron Jones. So Aaron Jones has been banged up. The snaps are down really the last 3 weeks. Well below 50% in two of those weeks, and just above 50% in last week's game. So it's becoming a little bit more. What's the joke about AJ Dillon? It's tough to, you don't, no one wants to tackle that guy in the winter, right? Like, that's coming a little bit to this. I don't think that's actually what's happening, but I do think Aaron Jones is banged up and not at full strength. So we'll watch. You know, we'll watch and see. He's just continuously been on the injury report basically, you know, for weeks now in terms of like limited practices and whatnot. And I think, you know, you saw him banged up in this game as well. So we'll watch for that situation. But I think both of those guys more in the running back two or flex type considerations than I thought. Maybe Aaron Jones had running back one in his range of outcomes coming into the season. That's certainly not proven to be the case. Houston, it's a bit of a quagmire here. It's a split between Royce Freeman, who actually saw more than half the snaps, and then Dare Ogunbowale and Rex Burkhead. 16 carries for Freeman. He went for 32 yards. I mean, that's kind of like they ran it 30 times and had 70 yards. So pretty rough running performance there. Again, that's like running into a wall playing Tennessee. That's a tough matchup for any offense. But he basically played most of the early down stuff, 32 early down snaps to 18 for Ogunbowale and one for Burkhead. Ogunbowale had the one goal line touch. Freeman handled the short yardage, and then Rex Burkhead did the third down. So pretty tough to get on board with any of that in any given week. Colts, we'll have to see. Oh, and by the way, like, I think you can cut Burkhead for a roster spot heading into the offseason. You could probably cut Ogunbowale as well. All right, Jacksonville. Because Indianapolis is on Monday Night Football. Jacksonville, ETN, 22 carries, 83 yards. He goes 3 for 29 and is actually their second leading receiver in this game behind Evan Ingram. I'm going to be really curious to see what the offseason brings of him and to dive more a little bit more metrically into his year this year. I'm just going to be interested in that. He's the clear lead guy. Hasty is the clear two. And I think, you know, I'd probably hold Hasty into the offseason just to see what happens and just sort of watch that. But he's proven that, you know, he was with San Francisco, was fine there, you know, he's proven to sort of latch on here and hold a running back two spot. I'd imagine that he'd compete for one again in the offseason even if he's not back with Jacksonville. Kansas City, pretty clear here. It's Isaiah Pacheco, 14 carries to 4 for McKinnon, 18 routes for McKinnon, 10 for Pacheco. It's 3-1 McKinnon to Pacheco advantage in the targets. Pacheco actually outproduces McKinnon by a yard in the air, 32 yards on one catch for Pacheco, 31 yards for McKinnon on three catches, but he has a touchdown. And then Pacheco goes 58 yards. Pacheco feels a little bit like you're kind of drawing dead unless you score a touchdown. He feels like it's almost like a sexier version of Jamal Williams, right? I think that's kind of what you're dealing with, because he's just going to get eaten away on the passing game side by Jerick McKinnon at this point. So I'd be sort of careful about investing in him, because that's kind of how he's profiling right now. Chargers play on Monday Night Football. It's the revenge of Cam Akers in this game. Truly dominant, 49 snaps to 8 for Kyren Williams, 7 for Malcolm Brown. He goes north of 100 yards. He goes 23 for 118 and 3 touchdowns. He adds in 29 yards for 2 receptions as well. I'm fascinated to see what his offseason is going to be. Played more than 80% of the offensive snaps in the first 3 drives. And he did not play the last 2 drives of the season because the Rams have put all the backups in. So he played 100% of snaps over the Rams' first 3 drives. And that included the only third and really long play of the day. So this is an interesting, I think that was meant to be 100% of the first 2 drives and then 80% of the first 3. So yeah, either way, it's a huge 75% of the overall volume, overall snaps, more than 75 of it for the second consecutive game. So this is consolidating towards him, right? It's nice to see, you know, him kind of get back on track after struggling to start the season and returning from that injury. So we'll be watching him into the offseason. He's an interesting value play. Josh Jacobs is fed up. Like, this game kind of stunk as well. 44 yards rushing, 6 receiving yards, and a catch. So that's 6 points if you total it up. Not great, Bob. not great in your fantasy championship season. So running back one number slipping away from him, you might get a spot where you actually get Eckler could kind of hold on to that and win that this tonight on Monday Night Football based on Jacobs kind of underperforming and Eckler being able to put up a huge ceiling game. Really curious to see what Jacobs' free agent resume is going to look like and, you know, whether they tag him and that sort of stuff. Really interested to see how that goes. All right, next up here, we've got Miami. It's a full work share between Mostert and Jeff Wilson. Don't trust it really at this point. 30 snaps for Wilson, 26 snaps for Mostert. Try to combine those, which is what I wish their backfield would do. 9 carries for Wilson, 8 for Mostert. So, again, this is sort of fluctuating back and forth. Wilson gets a touchdown in this game, but don't really trust either guy. This is a pure running back 3 flex type decision between those guys at this point. Dalvin Cook, 57 snaps in this game, 72 overall, very dominant. In the route game, he had 14 of their 18 running back carries in this game. So he goes, it's a bit of a disappointment, though. 64 yards rushing, 13 receiving, and 3 receptions. So, again, below 10 yards. I'm interested to see what they do in the offseason because he has a contract that, again, he's one that I detailed early on. Again, this is why I think that Kenny Wongwu and Ty Chandler are both interesting stashes because Madison himself is a free agent. They could save almost $8 million by cutting Dalvin Cook, and he's got a cap number of over $14 million next year, which just seems like it's too much, especially with what Cousins is going to be making. So I don't know, maybe they rework a deal or something like that, but at 28 years old, bringing back a $14 million contract just seems like it's too much. $14 million cap hit, and he doesn't have any guaranteed money left. So this is, definitely feels like a situation where they need to address this contract situation because he hasn't lived up to it and isn't producing to that right now. Like, it's not worth it for them to keep it. All right, the Patriots. So, again, Wongwu and Ty Chandler, stashes, deeper rosters. There you go. No Damian Harris again for the Patriots. He's heading into free agency kind of on a down note. He'll be a bargain basement type stash like later in startup drafts this year. You know, I think he could come in and, like, I think him – you know, him in a spot is like an injury away guy could be interesting, and there could be more receiving work there for him than he's gotten in New England. But Stevenson, 13 of the 14 running back carries, basically 28 of the 31 running back routes, just a thorough domination. Kevin Harris and Pierre Strong playing sort of bit roles in the offense behind him. Stevenson heading towards like a top, he could be top 15, top 10 running back. Depending on how the offseason shakes out, I'd be curious to watch it. All right, Alvin Kamara comes up okay. Like, I think you take it, right? 76 yards and a touchdown, and then he adds you another 2 catches and 34 yards, right? So that's, again, did you wish that he went supernova? Yes, you did. But, you know, you'll take – you know, a 19-point game, right? You'll take that. And so, you know, you put it in your lineup, and he probably overperforms what he's projected. And in a game that, frankly, they ran the hell out of it in this game, like, you're fine taking it, and you move on. We'll see what the offseason brings for him, you know, what the offseason brings for this injury-away role. I don't think David Johnson or Mark Ingram are the answers there. I would cut David Johnson, probably, and pick up someone else heading into the offseason. If you haven't, I'd cut Dwayne Washington as well. All right, the Giants, it's Barkley, 84 yards and a touchdown. And then he went 8 for 49 receiving. So he played trump card type role in this week. Breida, pure injury way guy, right? I think I still stash him going into the offseason. I'm cutting Gary Brightwell, but I think I'm stashing Breida into the offseason just to get a look-see. And again, there's this potential. Actually, I would cut Gary Brightwell. I'd probably hold Gary Brightwell because I think he has kind of the, could for a moment in time be an injury way guy. Heck, for a moment in time, he might be the only running back on their roster if they let Barkley test free agency. So I would probably just stash him. I don't think he's very good, but I'd stash him just as a shot for you know, hey, look at this guy. He's a current incumbent running back type deal. Like, there might be some potential talk of him end of the offseason. It's that Ty Chandler, Kenny Wongwu bet there. All right, Jets, Zonovan Knight, Michael Carter splitting work, basically Knight with the runs, the running game, Carter with the receiving game, Ty Chandler doing a little bit of both. Zonovan Knight, 6 carries, negative 2 yards. So good luck trusting that. 1 for 15. Like, this is kind of what I dreaded of it earlier on in the offseason, or early on in the season when I was, like, not super enthusiastic about him. It's like a pure work split. You know, it's what you would expect. Him on early downs, him in short yardage, but losing the third down in the 2-minute stuff. And when the Jets offense sucks, right, Zonovan Knight's not going to put up a lot of points. Philly, Miles Sanders in this one, 21 carries, 65 yards, so a bit of a disappointment there, 1 for 6. There's some guys that have really been productive that kind of fell off this week, so you get some weird-looking finals games just by some bye teams, you know, kind of falling flat. 13 routes, it's basically a quarter of the routes was Sanders' participation, 23 routes for Gainwell, so he had more than half of them. And then Boston Scott played 3 snaps. So Gainwell's the clear injury away guy kind of at present. But I do think Boston Scott would split some work with them if he was injured. I'm holding Kenneth Gainwell into the offseason. I'm probably floating Boston Scott back if I can sort of optimize the situation for someone better. All right, Pittsburgh, Najee Harris, just 53 yards rushing in this game. He had 6 for 42 in the passing game, which saves him. Again, he has a lot of outs, which is kind of why I like the profile, right? You like the profile of guys that go in the first round that have a lot of outs, right? Those are pretty durable and flexible fantasy options. He, you know, gets cut into a little bit by Jaylen Warren throughout the season, but I think overall he's going to be a discount in the offseason. I'm stashing Warren as an injury away guy because I think he's, you know, he's on a rookie deal. He's got that potential. All right, let's see here. San Francisco, this is a little bit of a quagmire. 15 carries for CMC, 9 for TDP. So TDP goes 9 for 30, 15 for 46 for Christian McCaffrey. So a down rushing game for them. Their rushing numbers look really good because you had Ray McLeod go for 71 yards, which is basically almost half of the running yards in this game. So pretty down game there for them. McCaffrey goes 2 for 12, right? Only 4 guys catch a ball. It's Ayuk, it's Kittle, Juwan Jennings, and Christian McCaffrey. And I'll tell you, if I'm a Kittle fan, I love that, right? I love that. So that's kind of what it is right now with Jordan Mason out. TDP is the injury away guy, but it looks like McCaffrey's clean. I'm holding TDP and Jordan Mason into the offseason. All right, Seattle, Kenneth Walker back, full workload, 26 carries, 107 yards. And it is 2 for -2 in the passing game. So he gets you over 10 points. But not a huge ceiling game there for him, but does the short yardage, the early down work. He's dominant. Seeds some of the 2-minute drill stuff to DJ Dallas. Travis Homer's hurt in the game. And he left with an ankle injury. I haven't seen the extent of it, but I think that you can probably float him back. You know, if he's going to go to IR or something like that, I would probably float him back instead of, carrying him into the off season. And then you kind of, you know, you can readdress, you know, I there's that roster spot can probably be optimized better than Travis Homer could be. So that would be sort of my thought there. All right. Tampa Bay. It's a revenge of Leonard Fournette game. 20 for 72 on the ground, which you feel like, but 9 for 90 in the passing game. So he gets you north of 25 points in a championship week. Again, talk about durable, flexible first-round assets, right? This is it's the Fournette. It's the Josh Jacobs. It's the Najee Harris-type profile, which is like, hey, guy can do both, right? Maybe at any given point it's not great, either one of them. But when you sort of look sort of across the board, you feel fine about it. You feel like it's durable, and that's kind of the deal there with both of the, with the, that sort of lineage, right? That's how I kind of view those guys. That's always a profile that seems to be undervalued by the market, and Fournette with a big game. Mentioned something about dealing with a Lisfranc. It's kind of bitching on Twitter about people being annoyed by his season. So for what that's worth, sort of keep that in mind. Fournette and Rashad White basically rotate, and the difference in workload in this game was basically that Fournette had 2 drives that went for 10 and 15 plays, and the ones for Rashad White didn't really go that long. So there's probably some correlation there. But Fournette comes out of this one looking really good and probably helping teams here, especially as like a flex play this week. All right, Tennessee, there is some talk that this game in week 17 doesn't matter, so our championship game doesn't matter for them. No matter what happens, they're going to play in week 18 for a win-or-go-home game to win the championship, to win the AFC South. Right? They're going to play win-or-go-home on week 18 versus Jacksonville, and I don't believe either of them can make the playoffs even if they even if they like win this week and lose next week, I believe they would both be out of the playoffs in that situation. So it is pure win or go home in week 18. There's some talk that maybe Henry gets rested because they had done that at a prior spot. So just sort of keep an eye on that. But he carried you a long way, 23 carries, 126 and a touchdown in this game. He had two receptions for 0 yards as well. But you'll take that, you know, you'll take a 20-pointer. And hopefully in advance, because he's helped you a lot during the final stretch here of the season. All right, and last but not least, Washington. Some weird stuff here happening with Washington. So 22 carries for 58 yards for Brian Robinson, which was maybe the most predictable work volume output of the week, considering they were playing San Francisco. You just knew, hey, we're going to run it a ton and sort of hope to, you know, limit our losses, basically, and kind of play a tight whatever. Like, that's kind of what they did. However, it gets weird that they bring in Jonathan Williams, who basically had 18 of the 19 snaps when Wentz played, which is super weird. Gibson was like kind of phased out. Like, he did the third down stuff, but it really was Jonathan Williams getting a bunch of work. Had 14 early down snaps as well. Got two goal line looks. So I don't know what's going on there. I think Gibson and Robinson basically are on the flex type range for this week, would sort of be my recommendation. So I'm interested in sort of what Robinson can basically do as the off season sort of as he sort of gets a full off season of health and can take another step forward. I think that he has more opportunity here heading into next year. And again, some of the stuff that like some of the usage patterns on him was kind of tough as well, because when he's running a lot of heavy boxes and that sort of thing. So I think that stuff could balance out for him. I've liked the showing for him based on sort of everything that's happened. So hopeful for him, optimistic about him heading into 2023. And I think he's still cheap enough that, we'll see. And I think Gibson being there will not be great, but I think he's going to be the clear starter there. And at least in the run game role heading into the 2023 season. All right. That's going to do it here for this edition, the running back snap reactions. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.